Naked wine is wine stripped down to its basics. Wine as it was meant to be. It's wholesome, it's exciting, it's provocative, it's living, it's sensual and pure. Naked or natural wine is the opposite of most New World wines today. Author Alice Fearing calls them overripe, overmanipulated, and overblown, and makes her case that good and possibly great wine can still be made, if only winemakers would listen more to nature and less to marketers and stop using additives and chemicals. But letting wine make itself is harder than it seems. 3 years ago, Fearing answered a dare to try her hand at natural winemaking. In the book Naked Wine, she details her adventures, sometimes calm, sometimes wild, and peers into the nooks and crannies of today's world of natural wine. She'll be doing a wine tasting and reading on Sunday as part of the Rensselaerville Writers Festival, and we welcome Alice Fearing to the roundtable this morning. Alice, thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on. It's great.
First of all, am I pronouncing your last name correctly?
It's actually Fearing.
Fearing, as yes. In firing line.
Exactly.
Excellent. So my apologies on that, but thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it. Give us a sense of what got you interested in natural wine, in naked wine.
Well, back in 2000, I was writing the Food and Wine Magazine Official Wine Guide, and I was doing so much tasting, really intensive tasting, and I was realizing that I was tasting a lot of wines that I couldn't stand, and many regions of the wine world had been totally wiped out. Rioja didn't taste like Rioja anymore. Piemontese wine didn't taste like that anymore. Or the Rhone wine was being transformed. Even California wine that I used to be able to drink, I wasn't able to drink anymore. It's like, what the hell is going on? There was one area of France, actually one area that I was like, of wines that I really liked, and they all seemed to be brought in by one particular importer who lived in the area, and I called up Joe, and I said, hey, I want to taste some of your wines. He said, okay, come over and taste and talk, and so I did, and, you know, it was kind of almost like deep throat-like when he said, you know, well, I'll tell you what's going on. It's about yeast. And I had known that yeast and the selection of yeast could change the flavor profile of a wine, but I had no idea there were hundreds, and it was almost like going to the fragrance and flavor suitcase, and you could fine-tune your wine depending on what kind of yeast. Then, of course, there was new oak, but after that would change, you know, you put a wine into an oak barrel, and it gives it espresso and vanilla and black cherry flavors. But I took it even further, and it was really much like Alice going through the looking glass, where I found that it was reverse osmosis, micro-ox, enzymes, you know, things that changed the texture and flavor, and I just thought it was oak barrels and yeast, as opposed to 200 approved additives that are allowed in our wine. Many of them allow a winemaker to choose the market that they want to make a wine for, and then just fine-tune it. So reverse osmosis is actually pretty much a torture chamber for wine, and it spits out wine into a concentrate, alcohol, and water, and then you can reconstitute it just like you can fruit juice and fine-tune it. And that is very opposite of the way I got into wine. So at that point, I started traveling to France a lot, and I found there's a whole enclave of winemakers who made wines without anything, including the supposedly necessary additive called sulfur.
Yeah.
And after that, you know, my whole life changed, and I said, hey, that's what I love to drink. Those are the people I want to write about. So that's a long-winded answer.
Well, it's a very complete and great answer. I'm interested in the additives that are, quote-unquote, allowed. Who makes that determination, and what exactly are we talking about? Sulfur being one of them. What are we talking about when we're talking about additives?
By additives, okay, you're talking about those, as I said, those yeasts that are
right
in the laboratory, which do come from nature. I mean, I want to say this is not as... Most of the things that can go into wine probably are not as nefarious as that are going into a lot of food. But within that, there are things like gum arabic to improve the texture. there are a slew of enzymes that break up the wine skin and the wine pulp, and many of them are allergens, such as lysozyme, actually I always say it in French so often I forget how do you pronounce it in English, it's an enzyme, not so bad, right? But they do affect the way wine is tasting. Another one, actually, which I think is, if we're talking about the health aspect of it, tannins. Tannins are often added. A grape has plenty of tannin on its own, but tannins are often added to a wine, and they can come either from the grape or wood, various like oak, chestnut. And a lot of people have allergies to that, but that is untested. A lot of stuff that gets blamed on sulfur could possibly, and actually I do thoroughly believe, come from tannins. What else? There are anti-foaming agents. That is pretty much proven to be a carcinogenic. Then, let's see, what else? You know, a lot of potassium carbonate, the PVPP, which is so unpronounceable I can't do it. Tartaric acids, of course, lactic acids, malolactic bacteria.
Are they on the labels?
No, there's nothing on the label. The only thing on the label would be...
The grape?
Well, it's sulfur dioxide.
Okay. And so how is that allowed? And then the larger question of, then how do we know what is in our wine?
We don't, unless you go to certain people or go to my blog. I'm going to be having a newsletter where I'm going to be recommending certain wines that are totally with the program. That's coming up probably in November. But you really have to go to a trusted wine store and check it out. There are certain. It's easier with imported wines because you can look at the back of the label and find the importer that's bringing them in. And there are certain importers now that really specialize on this, such as Louis Dresner, Savio Suarez, Jenny and Francois, Zev Rovine, that kind of thing.
So
there's no ingredient label, though we're trying to get that. Oh, I also want to say one other thing, and this
sure.
is extremely important, is that most, not all, but most of the wines that are made this way truly believe that it starts with the vineyard and the wines are at least farmed organically.
It seems to me, and this may be a clumsy analogy, but it seems apt to me, where you look at a photograph and you say that's a beautiful image and then you realize that it had been photoshopped.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, in some ways, they're taking wine and sweetening the pot a bit. So what you're calling for is for us to enjoy the beverage unaltered, the way God intended it.
Well, you know, I'm not really even advocating. I just want, there are so many people who have, after reading my books, and started to look out for these wines, said, you know, I thought there was something wrong with me, that I didn't like what I was drinking, but it's wine, and it's sophisticated to drink it. But I'm like, I don't get it. And then they started to drink some of the wines that I write about, and they're like, oh, my God, this is what you were talking. This is what I thought wine was supposed to be like, because there's an immediacy and vibrancy about it. I just, what is, you know, the bad boy of the wine industry is sulfur dioxide, right? SO2.
Yeah.
Sulfites added to this wine. Now, it's true, it is a natural byproduct of fermentation, but what's allowed is up to 300 parts per million of sulfur dioxide. Winemakers who work in this natural way maybe use maximum 20. That's a huge difference. Another thing about that is sulfur dioxide is, as it's mostly used, is petrochemical derived, which is very different from elemental derived. So even with, anyway, that I think people should be aware of. That use of sulfur dioxide to the max totally changes the way a wine feels in your body and the way it tastes.
So if so many people have a positive reaction to this naked wine or to natural wine, then why do you think it is not done more often? Are we talking about shelf life ultimately?
No, we're talking about that wine has become an industry as opposed to wine being made by people who are following an avocation and a love. And so when you're dealing with an industry, you're dealing with a machine who wants wine to be as similar every year as possible. When those of us who love wine and for a different kind of reason, we embrace the differences every year. And so that's a very different mindset. If you're a big Gallo or Bronco or you're making over 20,000 cases a year, I mean, you need a certain consistency.
Right. And some years you can just have a crummy year for a particular grape.
Yeah, but you know what? I thoroughly believe there really are extremely few. There are so few bad years. They're just bad winemakers or, you know, something went wrong. But if you're a really good winemaker, it's, you know, your vintage, small, large, rainy, sunny, it's your challenge. And it's vive la difference. I've had some fabulous wines in crappy years.
You will be reading from your book on Sunday. You'll be having a wine tasting as well, and natural wine will be served.
Yes, it will. We have some really great wines that I'm going to be showing. Several wines from the Loire, a couple of things of the new stuff from Spain, and it'll be kind of a spectrum of what kind of spectrum is available within this thing called natural wine, from absolutely no sulfur wines to barely sulfured wines, and all fun characters that hopefully come through the wine when you drink them.
Sounds like an awful lot of fun. Anne Fihring will be at the Rensselaerville Festival of Writers on Sunday afternoon from 2 to 4 for a wine tasting and reading from her book. To find out more information, you can go to festivalofwriters.org, festivalofwriters.org. And Anne, your website
is alicefihring.com.
And you can find out more information about Anne's work there. Again, festivalofwriters.org for more information about the Rensselaerville Festival of Writers and Alice's event, I apologize, Alice's event on Sunday afternoon from 2 to 4 p.m. at the Rensselaerville Festival of Writers. Alice, thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it. A great pleasure to have you aboard.
Fun.
Thank you so much. Festivalofwriters.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.